A very good morning to you all, and welcome to day 38 of our 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Thursday, 1st April 2021. It is Holy Thursday. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, you have brought us to this holy time wherein we renew the memory of our Redeemer's Passion. Hear us, we beseech you, and enable us to observe it in the spirit of holiness and piety, of humility and penitence, of love and adoration, and gratitude. Grant that his sufferings may show us the grievousness of our sin and the punishment due to it, while they give us comfort in showing to us the ground of our hope, that so putting our whole trust in him, who is the sacrifice and ransom for our sins, we may enter the fellowship of his sufferings, and dying unto the world may live evermore with him, our Saviour and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Listen now for the word of God from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 14, the verses 12 to 26. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of heaven." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Most of what I have read from Mark 14 this morning has been handled during this time of Lent, and so I will not examine those once again. What I want to do rather is interpret the Lord's Supper that was instituted by Christ as the symbol of our salvation, for which we need to be thankful and not be ungrateful. While Jesus was eating with his disciples, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. "Take it," he said, "just as this bread is broken, my body is broken for you." Then he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and handed it to them, and they all drank from it. Jesus said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for many, my blood which seals the covenant. Just as this cup of wine is poured out, my body is shed for you." Now, what did Jesus mean when he said that a cup stood for a new covenant? The word covenant is a common word in the Jewish religion. The basis of that religion was that God had entered into a new covenant with Israel. The word means something like an arrangement, a bargain, a relationship. The acceptance of the old covenant is set out in Exodus 24, verse 3 to 8. For example, at Exodus 24, 3, we read, "Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. And all the people answered with one voice and said, 'All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do.'" Then at verse 8, we read that Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." If you read Exodus 24, 3 to 8, you would notice that the covenant was entirely dependent on Israel keeping the law. If the law was broken, the covenant was broken, and the relationship between God and the nation was shattered. It was a relationship entirely dependent on law and on obedience to the law, and God was judge. And since no man can keep the law, the people were always in default. But Jesus Christ says, "I am introducing and ratifying a new covenant, a new kind of relationship between God and his people." And that covenant is not dependent on law. It is dependent on the blood that I will shed. It is dependent solely on love. So the new covenant was a relationship between us and God, not dependent on law, but on love. In other words, Jesus says, "I am doing what I am doing to show you how much God loves you." Because of what Jesus did, we are now within the love of God. That is the essence of what the sacrament says to us. I am your God, and I love you dearly. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you remember my death until I come again, says Jesus. And in that last sentence, we see that Jesus was sure of two things. He knew he was to die, and he knew his kingdom would come. He was certain of the cross, but just as certain of the glory. And the reason was that he was as certain of the love of God as he was of the sin of people. And he knew that in the end his love would conquer our sins. So he established a new covenant between God and humankind through his sacrificial death upon the cross. Is there any reason for us to despise a Savior like that, one who has done so much for us and has shown us how to love one another? But why do we often despise my Lord? When the California gold rush broke out in January 1848, a man went there, leaving his wife in New England with his boy. As soon as he got on and was successful, he was to send for them. It was a long time before he succeeded, but at last he got money enough to send for them. The wife's heart leaped for joy. She took her boy to New York, got on board a Pacific steamer, and sailed away to San Francisco. They had not been long at sea before the cry of "Fire! Fire!" rang through the ship, and rapidly it gained on them. There was a powder magazine on board, and the captain knew the moment the fire reached the powder, every man, woman, and child must perish. They got out the lifeboats, but they were too small. In a minute, they were overcrowded. The last one was just pushing away when the mother pled with them to take her and her boy. "No," they said, "we have got as many as we can hold." She entreated them so earnestly that at last they said they would take one more. Do you think she leaped into that boat and left her boy to die? No. She seized her boy, gave him one last hug, kissed him, and dropped him over into the boat. "My boy," she said, "if you live to see your father, tell him that I died in your place." Dear friend, that story paints a picture of what Christ has done for you and myself. He laid down his life for us. He died that we might live. He even taught us how to love God and people and to serve one another in the elements of bread and wine and of foot washing. Now, will you not love him? What will you say of that young man in the story if he speaks contemptuously of such a mother who gave her life for him? She went down to a watery grave to save her son. Why should anyone ever speak contemptuously of such a Savior, Christ Jesus our Lord? May God help us to be loyal to Christ as we walk with him to that cross of shame and of salvation. Almighty God, on this day your blessed Son Jesus Christ endured the dread agony of Gethsemane when he was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Give us grace to know that our sins were the cause of his sorrow, and that our guilt weighed him down and filled him with anguish. And grant us, we beseech you, to have abhorrence of all evil that we may suffer with him in his sorrow. Teach us to watch and pray that we may be kept through the hour of temptation, and give us such willingness of spirit, strength of heart, and patient quietness that we may not shrink from drinking his cup, nor fail him in his hour of trial. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.